a believer in this right brain, left brain label. There is something in our society sometimes I think we want to label and categorize stuff. We want to declare that there are these right brain people, and for them life is just this easy, flowing, creative experience. And sometimes they think they're off the hook on the details, the planning, and the follow through. One theory. And then you have the left brain, the logical, the task driven, and that group wants to be let off the hook for being creative. So a lot of this sermon is to that group. The places that you try to get off the hook from taking the risk of expressing a new idea. And don't get me wrong, I do think we each operate differently in the world. We do sort of have different personalities, we have different ways that life comes together, and I think life goes more elegantly, frankly, if we're just aware there are differences. But there's something that just really bugs me when I hear that either-or declaration, I'm creative, I'm not. I think it's dangerous when we say that. It's dangerous if we say that to children and we declare which ones are and aren't creative. And I think it's dangerous when we limit ourselves and we limit others by saying some folks aren't creative. What's interesting is the research shows that if you've got this, what you might think of as a creative personality, the ones that are the most creative are the ones that let it ping back and forth between the right side of the brain and the left side of the brain. The folks that have the courage to let their imagination flow out there, it's not that scary. Dream, let it come back in. But a lot of that creative process is when it then flows back and you figure out what to do with it. So the creative process is not some either or thing. And sometimes it's just an impulse to say, wow, there's the creative moment. There's a story, a large truck was moving through a railroad underpass when it got wedged in between the road and the girder overhead. All the efforts of the experts to extricate it proved useless, and traffic was backed up in both directions. And the little boy just kept trying to get the attention of the foreman. The foreman was brushing him off. And finally, in sheer exasperation, the foreman said, "I suppose you've come to tell us how to do our job." "Yes," said the child. "I think you should let a little air out of the tires." So I think the process there is, yeah, the child was creative, but it was when the foreman let go of enough ego to let one more creative impulse in that the co-creation started. He probably actually knew how to let the air out of the tires. Last month, I was at a minister's retreat, and it's an annual event. I go out to Lewis, and ministers get together from the D.C. and the Baltimore areas, and believe it or not, we open and close each day. It was a three-day session with worship. We worshiped six times in 3 days, and these are 30-minute sessions, and part of the reason that as ministers we buy into worship is our hope. Our hope is on Sunday mornings or at any time we set aside some time, it's a time to let the creative processes in, a time for transformation to be possible through music, through something that lets that right side, left side of the brain flow and let go and be productive. One of the traditions in addition to the program at the retreat is one of the ministers who is nearing the end of their active career in ministry gets to give something they call an odyssey presentation. And these are used in other forms of life, and in that time, one evening, the minister is given 90 minutes to tell their story, give their life reflection, do their memoir, however they would like. And a colleague I know well offered her odyssey at the retreat, and as we sat back that night, she wove together her story. She told us she was going to use time to play recorded songs that she had written and recorded at some hard times in her life. She had some of her own artwork that she flashed up and a few slides, enough that I could probably tell you each one of them. And everyone there sat back and was mesmerized in the telling of her story, the sharing, the parts of loss that I never quite understood, even though I've known her for 20 years, how she was affected. What I watched was her changing as she shared her creative view of her life. And we were changed in receiving her story. It was more creative than these odysseys are usually done, and I wasn't surprised. This colleague would have identified herself as creative. But she had to do all the processes, the thinking, the imagining of how to take us on the journey with her. And in that creative process, the world changed a little bit that night. So we've got those folks that can do that, can put together a combination of playfulness and the drive to do it well. So I ask everybody here, where have you been creative in your life? Where have you been the most creative, or examples of times you've been creative? When have you just taken in some materials or some needs or concepts and adapted them into something new? Everybody have at least one or two ideas? Because we can all play. We can all create something. Has everybody here scrambled an egg? Take one thing and you adapt it. Maybe not new and different. Or written a letter, or decorated for a party. At the baseline, I think we're all creative. And when we take the extra risks, when we take the chance of incubating a new idea, something else pops up. I was wondering, do I get to count the scrapbooks that I made for each of my kids when they graduated from high school? Finding the photos, placing them, using my gift of remembering every single date, time, and vacation to a point that would drive people absolutely crazy. I can record things uniquely. Is that creative? Is my husband pulling together some stories about his dad, and his dad died 25 years ago, trying to imagine his family's move in the 1920s, by my husband researching, by calling libraries in Maine and Florida, and us traveling down there, guessing about a story. I think he was changed, my husband, in trying to understand what his dad, the youngest of seven kids, what his life was like, and my husband then the youngest of four. We do creative work differently at each point in our life. How about as you think back, was mother ever the necessity of invention? Was necessity the mother of invention? You think of a time where you had to improvise something. Think of a time where your creative juices out of just plain desperation were the need. I was asking my husband in the car yesterday about this one. He goes, how about the time when we got evacuated from our beach house the second day of vacation, $150 worth of food in a cooler and no shot of getting back on the Outer Banks? It was a plan B vacation, but we would not go home. We were determined. We had a 5, 7, 9-year-old in a minivan and a little money left over. We've now seen Western North Carolina. So it's not about being born that way, being born a creative way. Folks that have studied creative personalities know that creative individuals are remarkable for their ability to adapt to almost any situation and to make do with whatever is at hand to reach their goals. If I had to express in one word what makes their personalities different from others, it's complexity. Creative personalities show tendencies through thought and action that most people keep segregated. They take contradictory extremes, and instead of being an individual, the creative person is often multiple individuals all mixed into one. So they're not one way or the other, but it's what we let our complex self, apply to the problems of the world. I've thought a lot about where does creativity fit in relationships. Because for me, part of my work as a minister is always in working through relational work, whether it's relational with the community, relational with a congregation, relational with my family. How do we think of creativity when it's not about a product that we can see, a scrapbook or a story? I mentioned I had recently gone to this retreat, and part of the retreat was on something called compassionate listening. And I know that a lot of folks here have done training on listening, that have focused on listening where you're not trying to come up with the next response. And this compassionate listening for these 3 days of workshop, sitting with other ministers, was even more. It was asking us to creatively think about the other. We had one exercise where we had to go around the room, and it was very slow and it was very awkward, and you would literally look into somebody else's eyes for probably 3 or 4 minutes as they read a meditation about, imagine the losses in this person's life. No words were spoken. And we did this for about 30 minutes, and we had about 4 different partners as we walked around. But the point was to creatively imagine what's behind the eyes of another, to let all this creative energy flow in a way that I'm using my creative self, but I'm looking at the person I'm with for their potential, for their view of the world, for that deep sense of who they are. And I know this sounds a little squishy. It is. It's not concrete. It's not making something. But in these moments, in these sort of intense times of imagining that that other person is a creative soul, and part of my job is to listen them, not just as a minister, but as a human, to listen them into their own creativity, to let the other trust that their soul has value, and if they can express it and take the risks, the world will be a different place, a co-created place, a special place. It reminded me of the reading from Rumi, the mystical leader. Out beyond the ideas of wrongdoing and rightdoing, there is a field, and I'll meet you there. When the soul lies down in that grass, the world is too full to talk about. Ideas, language, even the phrase each other doesn't make any sense. Where are the creative places that we go when we let ourselves go to that field? When do we let the arts help us go there? What if we share in the awe of a photograph of a mother and child? What do we learn when we've got tears across a room from my colleague's songwriting, and I now understood the losses in her life differently? The time when you created a meal for a co-worker's funeral, or that creative sense you get during a blizzard or a power outage. As Unitarian Universalists, we talk about difference. We talk about our appreciation of difference. Yet difference is hard. It's in these creative processes that there are the possibilities of bridges, of building the bridges that we sang of. It's a creative process that can bring us to cure, to healing. It happens when we're each open to the unknown and put ourselves in the perspective, in the place of new perspectives. So my final question for you is one about me. It's been almost exactly a year, almost to the day, since I interviewed for this position at the Unitarian Universalists of the Chester River. I'm reflecting, how have I done in sharing my creative self with you, and how have you, as a congregation, done in bringing your most creative selves, collectively and individually, to the work of community. So when I looked out there, did I ping out there enough? Did we all together ping out there enough and bring it in? And I sort of answer, sort of, maybe, I hope so, and I think of the work of ministry as the continual work of doing that. It's not a place I want to grade or put a grade on, but I think it's a helpful question in all relationships to ask, am I being creative? Am I looking behind the eyes of another and having the patience and the hope and the trust in that other person? It raises the importance just in asking the question of just how important it is to do so. So my challenge is that each of us, all of us together and alone, are always up in our game as creative souls. Our creative souls, I do believe, are more likely to find happiness and connection and to offer compassion. As Maya Angelou claims, you can't use up creativity. The more you use,